H. Give me a C. Give me another C. What does that spell? Embedded IoT software security. Okay, not exactly, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. And yes, we are talking about securing your data and communications in our IoT universe today. Dave Hughes from HCC Embedded joins us to chat about the changing role of NAND flash in our safety-based systems, and how embedded HCC can help you better protect your data and comms. All right, let's get started. Hi, Dave. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, nice to meet you.
So first off, tell me exactly what HCC Embedded is all about.
We are a specialist embedded development company. We were founded in 2002, and since then we've been developing embedded software for a wide range of microcontrollers and different applications. We've had particular focus on flash technology and networking technology. We've got several driving forces, one of which is ever better and better quality, and trying to do things better and better all the time. And the other is constructing things in modular and reusable ways so that the software we develop is not platform targeted. From the very beginning, we started off developing flash file systems. At the time, in 2002, there was a very limited number of options for doing storage to flash in an embedded system. There were almost none, if any, systems that focused on reliability and fail safety. So one of the things we focused on was building embedded systems that would allow you to manage and store data reliably to flash, regardless of what happened to the system. Obviously, it's quite a complicated thing, requires a lot of design constraints, and flash is something that's developed over the last 15 years. For example, if we look at flash itself, and NAND flashes as an example is one specific type of flash. The largest we dealt with in 2002 was about a 32-megabyte Samsung part. Nowadays, I don't think you can get 32-megabyte parts anymore. And there are parts up to 64 gigabytes. The whole scale of NAND flash has moved, but that has also changed the technology quite radically internally. And so the way it behaves internally is much different to how it used to be.
So, Dave, it seems like more engineers these days are integrating NAND flash into safety-based systems, including automotive designs. So, tell me what you feel is the role of the flash translation layer, and how exactly is HCC Embedded helping engineers better use NAND flash in their safety systems?
First, we have to look at the reasons why NAND flash is now being used in automotive and other areas that it hasn't been used in. It used to be frowned upon in the safety industry, mainly because of its very high error rates and the complexity of software you need to manage NAND flash. And so while it's been very present in SD cards, in SSDs, in mobile phones, for really high reliability, because of the error rates within the NAND flash and the amount of correction and management you have to do, it's been frowned upon. But things have changed, and so NOR flash was generally used in automotive solutions as the reliable workhorse. But because the automotive industry is changing, and now automotive is becoming very highly connected, and you're getting large numbers of sensory devices, video devices in cars, both for entertainment systems, but more for monitoring how fast your car's going backwards or seeing what's ahead on the road, etc., with your ADAS systems and everything. The need for very high volume storage and the need for very fast storage has meant that NAND flash has become an inevitable factor in this. But to manage NAND flash, like any flash, is a complex thing. The role of a flash translation layer is to make the flash underneath the layer appear a logical set of sectors or blocks to the higher levels, typically the file system of the embedded device, whatever it's been embedded in, so that the application writer doesn't have to care about the internals of the NAND flash. This should be hidden from them. They can just write to an array of memory and think that it is just an array of memory. All the complexity is handled by the flash translation layer, and HCC's job is to provide flash translation layers that can do that in a reliable and fail-safe way. Because of the various error conditions and the complexity of NAND flash, this is a non-trivial task. NAND flash has several very complex characteristics, and the larger the NAND flash, the more complex the NAND flash gets. The main aim as they develop NAND flash is to lower the cost per bit of the flash and lower the die size, the size of the part, so they can integrate it in smaller and smaller systems. But doing this makes the bits in NAND flash, be they SLC or MLC or TLC NAND flash, more and more unstable, so that now you can get into systems where to read a page reliably from a NAND flash, you might have to correct 40 bit errors in every 512 bytes. That's quite a mathematical task that usually needs to have some supporting hardware to calculate it for you. But it also accompanied by this are other very deep features of NAND flash that include page pairing, marginal programming problems, read disturb problems where because you read from one page, you will affect another page. Further to that, deeper problems relate to the flash actually wears out with time, and the more you use it, the faster it will wear out. So to design this into a safety system where the actual behavior of the flash changes over time by how much it's used means that you have to take a lot of factors into consideration to design a system that can be used reliably in a car system, for example. What the flash translation layer does for you, it helps resolve these issues. But it's not something that can be done standalone. It's something that needs to be taken into the context of the whole system, both in how you interface to the NAND flash, supporting hardware, and the flash translation layer itself has to do a lot of work to manage that NAND flash.
So, Dave, we all know that cars are becoming more and more connected, and that means safety is king. So, you guys are working on something called a safety element out of context approach. So, tell me more about that.
Well, ATC has over the years produced, I think we've got something like 260 different modules for file systems and drivers and TCP/IP and USB modules. And they're all pieces of software that are actually designed out of context. In other words, we develop them and we don't know how they're going to be used in the future. And so we stick to some basic guidelines of how to develop them, some standard interfaces, some standard programming languages, and standard programming rules, etc. The difference between this and a safety element out of context, or SAOC as the term seems to be used nowadays, is that the safety element out of context, again, it's going to be used in an environment where we don't know what it is going to end up like, but we have to do it to much more strict definitions. In other words, we define very clearly the assumptions we make of the underlying system before we start building the element. When we build the element, at the end of building it, we create a safety manual that tells you how to integrate it, ensure that the assumptions made in the design are met by the hosting system. And then the whole of the software used in the system goes through a standard ISO 26262 V model development process where all the requirements are specified so that the integrator can clearly tell what the function of the module is. And these are all traceable to test cases, which can then be run on the target environment to verify that the requirements as defined are met. And you've got full traceability from the test cases back to the requirements and also from the requirements through to the design. So the idea of the safety element out of context is basically taking the standard model of developing out of context software for reuse in software, it's called software libraries, but putting a full safety development model around those elements so that they can be reliably integrated into a safety system and the integrator can know exactly what they're getting and verify that the design as it was envisaged by our development team when we did it will meet their requirements exactly. The thing gets a little bit more complicated because what part of all safety systems is having a full software life cycle associated with a development. That means that when you develop anything, you not only have to have a model whereby if you need to make a change to the requirements so that you want the software to behave differently, you have to do an impact analysis on the whole product, see how that affects the test cases, the code, the design, and modify all the documentation in a formal way and all be reviewed, etc. And to do that, you need to have a full maintenance process. The thing about safety projects is that if you produce an element out of context for one project, you have to produce that again for another project. You're going to have to maintain those software life cycles independently. Because, for example, if you're element at SAOC is integrated with one car, and you've got the same SAOC integrated with a completely different car from a different manufacturer. Because you do a change for one, the other manufacturer is not necessarily going to want to change his whole production process. So you have to be able to maintain a SAOC in a project context for the particular integrator who's using that particular SAOC. The safety element out of context is taking your standard modular approach to software development. We're focusing very much on developing it to safety standards with the full VIA model and with the full software lifecycle, and being able to maintain independent software lifecycles for each integration of that safety element out of context.
Excellent. Well, Dave, I think it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you live in Budapest. So, Dave, what's the best part about living in such a magnificent city?
The best part? I don't know. It's a classic European capital with all the elements of a European capital, like your opera house and your parliament and your castle, etc. One of the things that makes it very nice is that it's relatively compact, so I can actually, I get visitors, I can give them a tour of the city on foot, and, you know, do a 6-8 hour tour, and you can see most of it, crossing the river, crossing the bridges. It's all really relatively compact and really quite beautiful. So it's a modern European capital with all the old artifacts.
Very cool. I can't wait to visit. Well, Dave, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're very welcome. Nice to talk to you. And if you do visit, please make sure you give us a call.
You can count on it. And if you want even more information about how HCC Embedded is changing the Flash landscape, I would strongly encourage you to check out Brian Moyer's recent article on eejournal.com entitled "Communication Solves Flash Unpredictability. HCC Embedded Launches a Fail-Safe Flash Translation Layer." And you can check out this article by simply clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com. And one more thing before we go, I wanted to remind everyone that we have a special giveaway this month. Maybe you're interested in a Hitchhiker's Guide to PCB Design t-shirt? Oh yes, I'm giving away a limited number of these super cool t-shirts this month. So if you want to enter to win, just fill out a tiny little form that is linked to this week's Fish Fryin' page, and I will announce the winners in my January 4th Fish Fry broadcast. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. Our Twitter handle is EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can check out the Fish Fry Archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com. I promise I will respond, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of December 14th, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton. And you've been fried.